Now all Massive and Crew spread out. This is Shelley Todner, and you're tuned in to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook. Show your support.
Step up, no more fresh out the pack, so come pay attention. A female lyricist, don't miss the mother mention. First name is Shelley, the last name is Thunder. Yeah, boy, I really make a wonder. I can chat and I rap, the same in a sense. If you really think about it, yo, there's no difference. Now, I got charisma, a lady with class, and all the female rappers I'm surely the past. Cause people like me here are just touched. The lyrics are the same, yo.
This is Erica with your concert billboard update for Sunday, October 18th. Tickets at Limelight, Grover Washington Jr. and Regina Bell at West Bryan Music Fair, and Standing Trees at CBGB. Monday, October 19th, Kirstie McCall at the Bottom Line. Tuesday, October 20th, Kirstie McCall at the Bottom Line and the Brand New Heavies at the Marquee. Wednesday, October 21st, Fozzie and V2O at the Shaman and Utah Saints at the Palladium, and Kitaro and John Anderson at Radio City Music Hall. Thursday, October 22nd, Kitaro and John Anderson at Radio City Music Hall. Joan Baez at the Bitter End and Sister Machine Gun at Tilt Rock. Friday, October 23rd, Shadow Facts at IMAX, Kitchens of Distinction and Bleach at the Marquee, Buster Poindexter at the Bottom Line, and Shriek Back, Low Pop Suicide, and Sky Cries Mary at the Ritz. Saturday, October 24th, Sonic Youth and the Boredoms at Roseland, Buckley's Zydeco at IMAX, The Samples at the Academy, Grover Washington Jr. at the Beacon Theater, and Put Down, Life of Agony and Disciplinary Action at the Angle, also Guar at L'Amour. Tuesday, October 27th, Erasure at the Beacon Theater. Wednesday, October 28th, Erasure at the Beacon Theater, and Ned's Atomic Dustbin at Irving Plaza, The Mekons at the Marquee, Warrior Soul at Tilt Rocks, and Sick of It All at the Ritz. Thursday, October 29th, School of Fish, Blind Melon, and Bolognese Monster at Irving Plaza, Consolidated, Basehead, Proper Grounds, God Machine, and Bad Brains at the Marquee, Card of the Unstoppable Sex Machine at the Academy, Dean Loves Jezebel at Tilt Rocks, and Mudhoney, Flaming Lips, Eugenius, and Celibate Rifles at Roseland. Friday, October 30th, Erasure at the Beacon Theater, Murder, Inc. at the Marquee, Catherine Wheel in the House of Love and Ocean Color Scene at the Academy, and Daisy Chainsaw at Tilt Rocks, Melvin's, Cow, Surgery, Cosmic Psychos, and Hammerhead at the Ritz, and Corrosion of Conformity at L'Amour. Saturday, October 31st, Murphy's Law and Blitz Spear at Tilt Rocks, M.O.D. at Limelight, Erasure at the Beacon Theater, Acoustic Alchemy at IMAX, Ronnie Wood at the Ritz, Blues Travelers at Roseland, Material Issue, Mighty Lemon Drops, and Too Much Joy at Irving Plaza, and East Greeley at L'Amour. And Sunday, November 1st, Erasure at the Beacon Theater, Scoop Dragons, the Tom Tom Club, Black Sheep and James at the Ritz, and Reading Slab and Hell's Kitchen at Limelight. Concert billboard can be heard weekdays, 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any questions, call the station at 632-6901, and stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Warning, a cryptic message to all our spies follows in 10 seconds. All others, please disregard. Thank you.
I'll talk it over with Brenda.
Hope you got that. We're not going to repeat it. I repeat, we're not going to repeat it.
telephone help you?
Yes, is this the operator?
Yes, I'm a telephone operator.
Yes, hello. I'm trying to find out what my long-distance company is, please.
AT&T from that phone.
AT&T from this phone?
Right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye. Don't dial that. Don't, please don't. See, it just rings.
Test line for the Setauket number 5 ESS. Serving exchanges 246-444-632-689-751-941. This is a recording. Thank you.
The verification number at the port jack TSO. The verification number at the port jet DSO.
We're sorry. All carrier circuits are busy now. Will you please try your call again later?
You have reached the verification number at the Felden DMS, serving 732-736-696-698-451 exchanges in area code 516.
You have reached the Smithtown DSO, serving 979-724-265-360-361-366-862-584. You have reached the Smithtown DSO, serving 979-724-265-360-361-366-862-584.
We're sorry. All carrier circuits are busy now. Will you please try your call again later?
Reached the verification test number for Patchogue number 5 ESS, serving exchanges 286-289-363-447-475-654-687-758-895-955. This is a recording.
Looks like Patchogue wins. Did we leave out anybody? Please call us if we left your exchange out.
Congratulations, you have reached the Flushing DSO, serving codes 445-539-762-886-939-961. Thank you.
Kinds of mysteries out there, and just a pulse away, as you might say. And now we have caller ID coming to Long Island. That's going to result in so much fun for all of us as we identify each other before we even pick up the phone. I'd like to know if anything like that is happening out there already. They're testing, they're experimenting, they're doing all kinds of marvelous things. That *69 call return and block call return and block identification and all that kind of thing just never stops. This is Brain Damage. Our phone number is 632-6901 and the area code is 516. Give us a call and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. A computer glitch at a regional air traffic control center forced departing flights to be delayed up to 90 minutes at the three major airports in the New York region yesterday afternoon, leaving thousands of travelers crammed into waiting areas, air transportation officials said. The breakdown deprived air traffic controllers of what are called flight data strips, computer printouts they use to identify and keep track of departing planes and their flight plans. At the same time, it deprived the controllers of the ability to identify arriving flights. And you better believe that's a pretty important thing to be able to do, especially if you're an air traffic controller. You like to know who's up there and who's coming in and who's leaving. It's not just idle curiosity, you know. They got a real reason to know that kind of thing. Anyway, with the radar blips still appearing on their screens, the controllers using radio contact with the pilots were able to talk down the incoming flights, including, guess what, Air Force One, which carried President Bush into Newark International Airport at 4:15 p.m. for a campaign visit to New Jersey. Oh, we've got information on that, too. But for a time, the controllers also switched to a backup computer that provided the required information, though less quickly. But safety was never compromised, said a Federal Aviation Administration spokesman, Duncan Pardue. Why does that name sound familiar? Duncan Pardue. Sounds like a character on the Bob Newhart show or something. Anyway, incoming flights were able to land from 3:14 to 3:55 p.m., while the main computer at the New York Air Route Traffic Control Center, you know where that is? That's in Ronkonkoma, New York. Yeah, I've passed it by. It's kind of hidden, but it's there. Anyway, that the main computer there was affected, and for the following 2 hours, while the repaired computer was being tested. Actually, that sentence doesn't make any sense, but we'll ignore it. At 5:30 p.m., there were departure delays of 75 minutes at both Kennedy International and LaGuardia airports, and 90 minutes at Newark. That's according to a Port Authority spokesman, Thomas Middlemiss. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Thomas Middlemiss sort of rolls off your tongue. At that time, Mr. Middlemiss said... Oh, I want to say that again. At that time, Mr. Middlemiss... Oh, I like that name. That's a good name. Mr. Middlemiss said... 25... I can say that really, really fast, too. Like a tongue twister. All right. I won't make fun of people's names. 25 planes were being held at Kennedy, 40 at LaGuardia, and 30 at Newark. Flights at Newark were delayed again briefly last night when an apparently disturbed man wearing only his underwear ran across two active runways shortly before 9 p.m. Air traffic was disrupted for about 10 minutes until he was captured by Port Authority police. That, according to Sergeant Richard Brzezicki of the Port Authority. Yes. Sergeant Richard Brzezicki, Mr. Middlemiss, and, of course, Duncan Pardue. What a wonderful world. And speaking of Mr. Bush's visit to New Jersey, well, that was a rather interesting visit. I don't know if you heard about it, but a front-page article in the New York Times today, angered by a crowd packed with jeering supporters of Governor Bill Clinton. This is just not Bush's year, I guess. President Bush yesterday broke out of a speech that was supposed to unveil a new car insurance plan and for the first time accused his Democratic opponent directly of evading the draft. Kind of like losing his mind, almost. Bush, I mean. Because that's the one thing he hadn't done, but apparently some angry supporters, actually they weren't angry, they were happy, jeering supporters, made him angry and made him lose all his reason and rationality and pull a quail, you know? Anyway, it was not clear whether Mr. Bush was consciously trying to accuse Mr. Clinton of criminal conduct or if he merely became twisted in his words because of his evident anger. The president, looking tired and with his voice hoarse after Thursday night's second presidential debate... I don't quite know why a presidential debate would make his voice hoarse. He wasn't really screaming. But regardless, he also denounced... This is the good part. He denounced a group of college-age protesters on the campus of Middlesex County College as draft dodgers. Now, it doesn't take great intellect to realize that people of college age today were not even born when the military induction program was last in effect. Incredible. President of the United States calling people draft dodgers who weren't even eligible for the draft. Mr. Bush stopped at the campus for what was supposed to have been a triumphant post-debate rally that the president's advisors hoped would help lift his campaign in New Jersey. The campaign had invited most of the prominent Republicans in the area to join him, including former Governor Thomas H., spelled like Keene but pronounced Kane. Don't ask me why. Anyway, the crowd was small and salted with Clinton supporters, and the rally quickly turned into an ordeal for Mr. Bush. As the Democratic partisans twice shouted the president into silence during his speech, his remarks were uneven in tone and syntax and were laced with blunt insults about his opponents and his audience. Had to turn the page. The crowd grew increasingly provocative, shouting at the president, "Liar! Liar!" and "No more Bush. Please." Mr. Bush countered with, "I wish these draft dodgers would shut up so I can finish my speech." Pathetic. Now, that was him saying that. I'll say it too, but he said it towards them. By contrast, there was so much boasting among the Democrats that Mr. Clinton, who embarked yesterday on a bus trip through Louisiana, cautioned his supporters against overconfidence. Remember Bart Simpson. The Bush campaign could take little comfort in the latest New York Times CBS News poll, which showed Mr. Clinton receiving as much voter support in the critical state of Illinois as he does nationwide, while Mr. Bush is slightly weaker there than nationally. I'm being asked to clarify the Bart Simpson remark. Okay, well, those of you that watch The Simpsons know that Bart ran for school president last year, and The only reason he lost was because all his friends forgot to vote. They were so confident that he was going to win. So that's what I meant by remember Bart Simpson. If all of Clinton's friends don't vote for him, the same thing will happen, and he'll wind up just going back home, I guess, and watching Krusty the Clown. A few minutes after Mr. Bush was interrupted by the hecklers, he moved into the portion of his speech that his aides had been advertising for 2 days. A proposal to cut automobile insurance premiums nationwide. Isn't that nice? What a nice gesture. The chanting began again, and Mr. Bush was forced to stop speaking while his own supporters shouted back, "Bill is a fake." The president then abandoned his discussion of the insurance proposal and hurled himself into an increasingly strident attack on his opponent's character, a subject that Mr. Bush had been forced to abandon on Thursday night at the debate. He said, "You all are familiar with Governor Clinton's stories on what he did to evade the draft. He still has not leveled with the American people. He still has not told the truth." Although the president has tried hard to make an issue in the campaign on Mr. Clinton's lack of military service, he has always skirted any direct accusation that he evaded the draft. And while Mr. Clinton has frequently amended his story of how he avoided being drafted to serve in the Vietnam War, there has never been any suggestion that he was guilty of draft evasion, which is a criminal offense. And then you have all the baseball analogies. The president gave a hint of his mood as he opened the address. "Politics is like baseball," he said. "It isn't over till the last batter swings. And we are going to win this election. We are going to surprise the pundits, annoy the media, and hit a home run." Well, if they do hit a home run, it will be with nobody on. I can pretty much guess as to that. And Dan Quayle added to it by saying the Pittsburgh Pirates were in the lead and had a chance to win it with two outs in the ninth, but lost the game to the Atlanta Braves on a close play at home plate. We're the Atlanta Braves. And when we get to the bottom of the ninth and it's two outs, we're going to score another run and win this election. It would be nice if he gave that speech in Pittsburgh, wouldn't it? And Mr. Clinton, not to be outdone, also gave a baseball analogy. Just remember what happened. The guy was coming into home. The catcher drops the ball the last half of the ninth inning. Lesson: it's not over till it's over. I need your help for 2.5 more weeks, and then I don't want to see your faces again. I'm told we have a special comment. I'm told we have more information. I'm told we have exactly what is on the current administration's mind. And I'm told it's coming up next. Yes, after 12 years of Republicans, I guess the theme to the High Chaparral is probably one of the most fitting themes that you can have in this particular time. It's been a funny 12 years, hasn't it? Kind of feel like I'm waking up after a very fitful sleep. Here we go.
The White House Press Office Actuality Line. We have no actuality at this time. Thank you for calling, and please call again.
And you heard it here on Brain Damage. No actuality at the White House. But then that's not really news, is it? Okay, enough. I don't want to build up the theme anymore. We've got a baseball score. Atlanta Braves have won the first game of the World Series. Another baseball analogy, but this one's real life, folks. Yeah, defeating the Toronto Blue Jays 3-1. That's right, the American team beat the Canadian team, and let that be a lesson. The Braves raced ahead of the Blue Jays with a Damon Berryhill. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing his name wrong. I'm not familiar with him. It's either Damon or Demon. Berryhill, 3-run homer in the 6th inning. Yes. And getting back to the president, President Bush spent Saturday preparing for the 3rd and final debate of the campaign. Can we have a little debating music, please? Beautiful. While Democrat Bill Clinton picked up the endorsement of 200 current and former prosecutors meeting in Michigan, independent candidate Ross Perot appeared in an hour-long paid political program carried on ABC TV. And in other news, Bosnian army commanders have agreed to remove a barricade from a major road that was blocking the delivery of relief supplies to Sarajevo. The decision ends a contest of wills between the Bosnians and UN forces seeking to unblock the road. It's currently 8 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook. Our phone number is 632-6901. Give us a call. Let's see who's out there on this Saturday night, chilly Saturday night in Stony Brook. Good evening.
How's it going?
Well, you know, I wasn't prepared to answer that question. I don't know how it's going. I'm okay, I guess.
What's the name of your magazine?
The magazine I work for is 2600 Magazine.
How can I get it?
I'll give you a phone number.
Hold on a second. Let me get something right.
Okay, all right. He's talking about the magazine for computer hackers, which I guess is no secret anymore.
Of course, man.
Yeah. How did you hear about it? Just out of curiosity. We try to keep secret, you know.
Through my friend.
Your friend, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, your friend must have some pretty good connections.
A fellow hacker.
Uh huh. You know, hackers are. I don't know. They're popping up everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow. Well, anyway, if you dial 516, well, don't dial 516 if you're in 516, but you know that already, 751-2600, you'll get all the information you need.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Oh, well, I'm not hanging up yet.
Oh, okay, I thought that's all you needed to know.
All right, well, anyway, are you a hacker?
I've always been, and there's nothing I can do to stop it.
All right.
And once you recognize that, you can finally have a stab at happiness.
Do you ever hear of a book called The Anarchist Cookbook?
Yes, I certainly have heard of that. I won't say I live by that book, but I've read it, I've seen it, and it's fun. It's outdated, but it's a fun book to read.
Oh, yeah, I'm sending away for a copy of it very soon.
Well, where can you get a copy of that?
Well, I got the address if you want it.
Yeah, why don't you read the address, because I know a lot of people are interested in getting that.
All right, hold on a second, let me get it.
Okay. Hopefully you won't have to search too hard.
I hope not.
Yeah, it's I'll just give the time again. It's 12:35, which also in some places is 25 to 1.
25 to 1?
In the morning, yeah.
Damn, man, I didn't know it was
on a Sunday night. Oh, no, on a Sunday morning, Saturday night.
Damn, I can't find the address.
Can't find the address, huh?
Wait a minute. No, I do got it. It's over here.
Over there, yeah. Check over there.
It's over there.
Uh-huh. Is that underneath a whole lot of papers or something?
Yeah. Hey. It's in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Really? So you're ordering out of Secaucus, New Jersey, huh?
Yeah, it's, here it is.
Okay, here we go.
Ready? Everybody got a pen?
Everybody get a pen.
All right. Here it is. Anarchy.
Hold on. This Rocky Point doesn't have a pen. Yeah, okay, go ahead. He's ready.
Anarchist Cookbook, available again. $22 delivered. Barricade Books, Box 1401K, Secaucus, New Jersey, 07096.
I better write that down in case somebody else asks me. 07096. It was Barricade Books. What was the address again?
Barricade Books, Box 1401K, Secaucus, New Jersey, 07096.
Okay.
All right, so you guys got to order it, and it's the best book.
It's a good book, yes. You might find a copy in your local library, but it's probably all beat up by now.
Yeah, well, they usually get stolen really fast, so.
Yeah, especially Steal This Book by Abbie Hoffman gets stolen all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you expect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to live by this book.
Yeah.
Called Old AC, man.
So how come you're ordering this book? What do you hope to get out of it?
Copy, and I don't have any other, you know, other ways of creating terrorist attacks, you know.
Well, you know, it's not just creating terrorist attacks. You have to understand that.
Yeah, it's also to learn, you know.
It's just to learn, yes.
Be enlightened.
It's to become a better person.
Yeah. So, does anybody out there know about telephone fraud yet?
Well, there's a lot of telephone fraud in many different forms.
I'm talking about, like, breaking into the boxes and stuff.
Breaking into, I guess, you talk about voicemail boxes or something.
No, you know the boxes that some people have on their blocks and stuff, you know, like...
Oh, you're talking about the junction boxes.
Yes.
Yeah. What some people do is they open up those boxes and just plug in their telephones and make calls that way.
You can get... I got a test set, though.
Uh-huh.
So I can just, like, tap right in, you know.
Well, now, the one thing, though, that sort of goes against the hacker ethic is when you do something at the expense of some other poor person that might never even... You know, if you do something that doesn't really affect anybody, like if someone has free local calling and you just simply, you know, hop onto their line, make a free local call, I mean, you are tying up their line, which isn't good. But generally, it's always been considered, I don't know, more acceptable, more cool to just sort of hop onto the network itself and just be invisible.
Oh, yeah, I just hop on and listen, that's all.
Well, eavesdropping is something else entirely. That's what law enforcement people do and, you know, things like that. But, I don't know, the best advice I can give you is not to look so much for the, you know, for the free rides, but look for the exploration, look for, you know, what you can learn that other people don't know. For instance, a hacker discovered only a couple of weeks ago, are you familiar with the number 958?
Yeah.
You know what that is, right?
Sort of, not really.
Okay, well, anyway, all those people out there listening, if you dial 958, a computer reads your phone back, your phone number back. And what this hacker discovered was that you get the same thing with a different voice if you dial 511. And this is something that has been slowly spreading around Long Island, so it might be in your area as well. Check it out, see if you get a different voice reading your phone number on that one. 511 and 958. Also, there's... there are new tricks with the call return, caller ID, ways of defeating that, ways of, you know,
oh, yeah, there's also a way, like, if you call up a number and it's busy, you dial star, you hang up and you call the number again, and if it's busy again...
Star 89, right?
You dial star 69, star 66, that is.
Star 66, that's repeat dial?
Yeah, and it'll just, as soon as it becomes free again, it'll call you back. And
right.
If you pick it up, you'll be on the line.
I think Star 89 cancels that. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah. But there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with phones nowadays.
Yeah. If you have control over your phone, there's a lot you can do.
Oh, yeah. If you have, I mean, the computer days are coming, you know. Pretty soon computers are going to be taking over the government.
Well, computers, your telephone really is hooked to a computer right now.
I know.
It's no longer something electromechanical. It's something that is very sophisticated. And whether you use the sophisticated capabilities of it is up to you.
But if they're listening to me right now, I'm sure they're opening a file on me right now.
Well, yeah, they're probably just adding to the file.
Oh, yeah, that's just true.
But you got to believe there are a lot of files open right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know about you, but on a Macintosh, when you open a lot of files at once, it crashes. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's sort of like when you flush a lot of toilet bowls at once, the whole plumbing gets messed up.
There you go. I like that analogy probably better than mine.
But anyway, what have you done with the good old AC?
The good old what?
AC.
AC?
Anarchist Cookbook.
What have I done with it? Well, I just thumbed through it. It's, I don't know if there's any part of it really that still applies.
Well, you could, well, you know, like, blow things up and stuff in it.
Yeah, you can still blow things up. I was never really into blowing things up, though. I mean, you know, it's kind of... It just happens and then it's over and, yeah, you know.
You create terrorist attacks, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, you know, when you create terrorist attacks, people kind of, they tend to look unfavorably upon you.
Really?
Yeah, I've noticed that. And if they do claim to, you know, be with you, it's really because they're afraid of you.
Yeah.
And when people are afraid of you, they'll stab you in the back first chance they get.
Well, what you do is, you don't get mad, you get even, right? That's what I do. Because these people sometimes get me really mad and everything, so...
What do these people do to get you mad?
Well, sometimes they, like, beat the crap out of me, so I go after them and, like, blow up their house.
Uh-huh. How about, have you ever used a barbed quip on them?
A what?
Well, just, you know, a witty retort.
What do you mean?
Well, just, you know, say something like, oh, yeah, or, you know, well, that's the only one I know. But there's other things you can say that are, like, really, really get under their skin and make them...
Yeah, you don't want to say it over the air.
Yeah, I suppose there's that one, too. There are a couple of other things that you could say that might anger them so much that they'll completely forget what they're doing.
Also, when you're doing something stupid, you know, like when you're, like if you want to do like an intermittent bomb and put it on their door so that when it opens up, it blows up, leave a little message for them that says, just, you know, nice and calm. It says, do it again and it might be your face, jerk. You know, they'll get really scared.
Well, you know, you'd have to time that just right so that, you know, it went at the right time and they'd know what it was you were referring to. Because if, say, you know, it blows up and then 10 seconds later it says that, they might not know what it's referring to. They might think it's a threat for something else or somebody else. They might not see the connection, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well...
And in life, timing is everything.
That's if they're real Neanderthals, but you're like, you don't even have to let them know who it's from. They just have to watch their backs, that's all. Because anticipation of death is worse than death itself.
Anticipation of death is where I guess you got a point there.
Yeah, you know, you get paranoid, and Captain Paranoia sets in, and you're gone.
Yeah.
Well,
give me some heavy things to think about here.
But anyway, you doing teleconference tonight?
Not tonight. Did we do it last week or the week before? I think we did it last week. Yeah, Matt was here.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk to some fellow hackers though.
Uh huh. Well, there's fellow hackers out there. You know, I can give you a phone number for a voice bulletin board.
Hold on a second.
That you can meet fellow hackers through.
Hold on a second.
Okay. Actually, it's very similar.
You can do it through the modem, too.
Yeah, but this you can just use your voice. Anybody out there can do it. But it's a special number, and it costs 15 cents a minute.
All right, go ahead.
And I'm not saying that as an advertisement or anything, because none of that money goes to the magazine. It all goes to the phone company. That's just what they charge. It's the same number that I gave you just before, except with a different area code. It's 0700-751-2600. And that's the only, as far as I know, the only voice bulletin board for hackers in the nation.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong on that, somebody please correct me. But through there, you can... You know, talk to all kinds of fellow hackers. But it's only open after 11 p.m., which is now, but that's when the voice bulletin board opens.
All right, so that's cool.
Yeah.
What does the 2600 magazine cost?
Well, I don't think I can give prices out over the air, because that would be a bit too much. But if you call that phone number, they'll give you all the information.
Okay.
The 516 number, that is. Okay?
All right.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right, later, bro.
Bye. Yes, there are hackers all over the place. It's one thing that you learn in this world. 632-6901, our area code is 516. I'd like to know if anybody out there saw the debate. Anybody change their opinions? You realize it's very likely within the month we'll have a brand new president, or at least a brand new president-elect. It's kind of weird to think of it that way, but 12 years might be drawing to an end. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Not much, how are you?
What was that that number you were saying, 987 or whatever, it says your phone number back?
958 says your telephone number.
And that's all it does?
Yeah, that's pretty much all it does.
Yeah. That caller ID is, a lot of people are probably going to end up getting it.
Well, you know, the phone company is going to try and encourage you to get it. They're going to try to scare you into getting it, because think of it from their point of view. If, say, only 50% of the people get it, it's kind of useless for them. You know, if 50% of the people block all their calls, then, you know, how useful is it, really?
Yeah, plus they don't get any money.
Uh-huh, of course. There's the income. It's going to cost $6.50 a month
really?
just to have it. And you have to buy your own box, too.
Yeah, I know, because I was looking in Consumers, I think, and they sell it, but it says only in New Jersey, I think it was.
Well, that's outdated, because it is going to work in New York. It's going to work in New York as of next month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as of November.
$6.50 a month, and you got to get your own box, huh?
Right, but... Is that the commercial?
No, I think it was you. You said it. I think it was a couple of months back.
Uh-huh.
And it was some you call and some lady says the number that was called has been traced. The only thing you have to do is call this 1-800 number, and then they'll tell you whoever just called you.
Really?
Yeah, I think you said it, huh?
I don't remember that, but it's quite possible something like that is out there.
And *69, it's I guess nobody really uses it because now you have to be paying...
75 cents each time you use it.
My mother got a phone bill. And most of it was like... all used from top to bottom of the paper was just 75 cents all the way down.
Really? So I guess you guys weren't aware when the free trial ended, huh?
No, it was like $30 worth. $30 worth of stuff.
You can probably get a credit on that the first time around if you say, you know, you weren't aware of it or that there was a charge or something like that.
Yeah.
So try it. I think they'll probably let you get away with it.
It's like the whole paper, the whole list.
Yeah.
Off the bottom, it's 75 cents.
It's not like it costs the phone company anything to process those calls. I mean, you're still making the call.
Yeah.
It's just you're kind of like just returning the call. I mean, there's nothing that costs 75 cents. It's like the touchtone fee. There's nothing there to charge for, but they're making a bundle off of it.
Yeah, I know. She was freaked out. She says, we're not using this no more.
The thing is, you can't stop it.
Yeah,
you
know,
can't turn
I
it off.
Keep doing it. I don't know. It seems like I can't, you know.
Yeah, it's just three buttons, and they're all right there, you know?
Yeah, it was, she was like, oh, we got to stop. Because my mother does it, too. She's like, oh, I'm going to stop. And then, I catch her doing it.
The Star 69 habit.
Yeah, I can't help it. Like, the phone rings, and I pick it up, and the person hung up, and I just do it.
Well, undoubtedly, what they're going to do is they're going to say, why don't you have the per month, we can do an unlimited number of times for like $3 or $4 or something a month.
Oh, there's a limit? You can get a limit?
You can get unlimited for a certain amount. Actually, I don't think it could cost you $30. I think the maximum it could have cost you was $5. I think there's a law that says they can't charge more than that.
Oh, really?
I think. I'm not 100% sure because they don't even have it in my area yet, so I can't even play with it.
Mm-hmm.
When you dial *69, do you often get out of the area when it says you can't make this call?
Yeah, from the city. Uh-huh. I have friends that live in the city. And they've called me, and then I've done that, and then the lady says, the area you've been calling cannot be used by using this method, or something like that.
Yeah.
So she says, if you know the number, then hang up and dial the whole number, to find out who it was.
How would you know the number if you were dialing *69?
No, but I'm just saying, I guess the city, New York, the city doesn't have it.
Well, it's not connected yet. The city doesn't have it yet, but it will very soon. I think in November they're also getting it. Now, how far away can you go? What's the furthest you've been able to make it?
*69?
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm trying to think. When the farthest. The tip of the island.
What, out to Montauk?
Southhold. I have a friend that lives in Southhold.
And you start *69 then?
Yeah, and it works.
And where are you located?
I'm in Bayshore.
Well, I guess it is island-wide, and one day it will be nationwide.
Yeah.
The thing is, that's a very good way for you to get unlisted phone numbers. Let's say somebody from Southhold calls you, and you don't have their phone number. All you have to do is *69 them and get the local itemization list, which they provide for $1.50,
uh-huh.
And then you can get their phone number that way.
Oh, really?
It's scary, and there's no way they can block it. You can't block your number from being sent that way. You can block it from being displayed on the caller ID box, but you can't block it from being transmitted so that they can *69 you.
Yeah, a lot of these... Schleps, they call and they hang up, and then when you do *69, they don't pick up the phone.
Uh-huh.
That's happened here, and a couple of friends of mine that people call them, and they just don't say nothing, they hang up, and then they *69 them, and then the person, whoever it is that's calling, doesn't dare pick up the phone, They know already that
right.
They're being, traced or whatever it is. But
in a case like that, all you have to do to get out of that situation is call back again from a line that you don't mind having called back, or call back from out of the area. For instance, let's say I called you right now,
yeah,
and made a harassing call, and you wanted to find out who it was, and you call me back. Of course, my phone will ring, and I won't pick it up. But let's say before you have a chance to call me back, I tell a friend of mine in New York City to call you, And then they'll be out of the area.
That's true.
And then when you star 69 me, you'll get a recording saying it's out of the area.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of tactics you can use. I mean, harassing phone calls are not going to go away. They're just going to get more sophisticated.
Yeah. I don't know. The phone that we had before, I don't know. I guess the people are really, really popular because they, one day, New York City police detective called my house saying about a stolen car.
Uh-huh.
And I called back, and I told him that, because he had said the lady's name, and I said, you know, this is a new number, there's nobody by this, that name here. But it was like, you know, every day there'd be like something new for life insurance and stuff like that.
Well, why was this?
Because I guess the people that had the number before we did, I don't know. You know, every day, oh, you know, you want life insurance, and they'd be asking for this girl's name, and stuff like that, so.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah, so my mother got pissed off and she just number changed because there are schlucks out there.
Oh, well, there's, you know, it's a legitimate complaint. But when you get your number changed, make sure you don't have a recording on it saying what the new number is.
I know, it just says it's disconnected.
Uh-huh.
You know, she didn't, the lady asked, do you want to tell them, you know, the new number?
Uh-huh.
She said no, so, you know, they just say, you know, the number's been disconnected.
Tell me something, do you have call forwarding?
Call forwarding?
Yes.
No, I have call waiting.
Okay. I'm wondering, if someone out there has call forwarding, what happens if they activate call forwarding, make their phone go to another number, and then call someone and have that person star 69 you? Does the star 69 call go to the number that you programmed your phone to go to? And if so, think what a marvelous tool that would be. You know, you call somebody, and then they star 69 you, and they get someone else that didn't even call them, and then they think that person called them.
Because I know with call waiting, like, if you're talking to one person and somebody else is calling you, the beep of that second person, then when you hang up totally with, you know, the phone, then you do star 69, and it'll beep the second person that just called.
Uh-huh.
The first person is just blocked off.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't know about call forward. I don't have that.
Interesting. That's another thing I like to hear from people in the Setauket, Stony Brook area. New York Telephone did a free trial of call waiting over the summer.
Uh-huh.
And they said, if you contact us and say you don't want call waiting for free, you know, we won't give it to you. But if you don't contact us, we'll give it to you for free for 2 months.
Yeah.
So a lot of people didn't say anything, and they got call waiting for free. And now I understand, from what I've heard from a couple of people, is that they still have call waiting. And when they call the phone company to get the call waiting taken off, the phone company says, we can't figure out how to turn it off.
Really?
They can't figure out how to get call waiting off these people's lines.
I know we pay, I think it's $5 for it.
Uh-huh.
$5 and change.
Yeah, that's very expensive, you know, because you can get another phone line for just about that amount of money. Maybe twice that amount of money you can get another phone line. But with another phone line, you can make phone calls.
Yeah.
You can't do that with call waiting.
But our phone is just one line. It's just the one in the kitchen, in my parents' room, and in my room.
Right, but I mean, you can get a two-line phone and a second line with a free service New York Telephone doesn't advertise called call hunting. What that does is, if the first line is busy, it jumps to the second line.
Call hunting?
Yeah, that's it, the first line is busy, it jumps to the second line. Like right now, we have 5 lines ringing at the radio station. People are all calling the first number, but it's jumping all over to the next 4 lines.
Oh.
And that service is free from New York Telephone.
Oh.
But they don't really know about it. You have to ask them for it and pester them about it.
Oh, really?
So you can get pretty much the same service that call waiting offers.
Yeah.
And in a more imaginative way.
Yo, Eric.
Yeah.
You're not doing no talk conferencing?
Not this week, because we did it last week, you know. But what we're trying to do, we're trying to like, set up an alternate service so that we can offer the conferencing while the show is going on.
Yeah.
We need to get more staff people here involved so that they can actually, you know, take those calls on a different line and put people together and things like that. So hopefully we'll get that together within the next month or so.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, take it easy.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
632-6901, 1256, in the morning. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Not much, how are you?
I didn't know you were a hacker.
You couldn't tell, huh? Mm-hmm. See, you couldn't tell from my voice, could you?
I'm a hacker, too.
Are you really?
Yeah, my dad is, too.
Well, what kind of a hacker are you?
A computer, yeah.
Well, what kind of things do you do?
You know, overthrow small countries.
Well, that's not what computer... I mean, computer hackers do that, but that's not all they do.
Crash planes.
Yeah, okay, there's that, but you know, there's other things.
My mom's a hacker, too, you know.
You have a whole family of hackers?
Yeah. Bill Nye, she's on the computer, you know. I have to tell you, I would go to sleep, and I'd bang her over the head with one of her shoes. I'm like, listen, you don't go to sleep. You know, I'm really going to hurt you. It's like, no, don't. I'm like, it's too late, and I take a hammer, and I...
All right, wait, before you get too far into this...
Bang her over the head.
All right. Good morning.
Hello?
Anybody there? Yes, go ahead.
Hi, I have an address to give out.
Whose address is it?
The American Anti-Vivisection Society.
Oh, well, I guess it was only a matter of time before that came up. okay, go ahead. Give us the address.
Oh, let me tell you what you could get if you write to this. They can supply you with a large amount of information on the horrors of vivisection and ways to do to help stop it, whatever.
Okay.
Well,
how did you get involved in this?
I just have the address from somewhere.
Okay, well, is this something that you believe in?
I guess, yeah.
You guess?
But
you gotta be strong in your you know, what you believe in.
Okay. Valerie. I'll give people some time to get a pen out and all that.
Well, they have the pens out from the last time we gave out an address.
Okay. Valerie R. Applebaum.
Well, now it sounds like you're giving out a person's name and address.
No.
Doesn't it? I mean you say an organization and I hear a name and you know, it just sounds like you're giving out a person's address.
It is an organization.
It is. Where is this organization based?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Deckentown.
Where?
Deckentown, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Deckentown, yeah.
What's the area code out there, do you know?
No.
You don't know? All right, wait, how do you spell that?
What?
How do you spell the name of the town?
J-E-N-K-I-N.
V-I-L-L-E.
V-I-L-L-E.
Okay, can you... Wait. J-E-N-K-I-N-V-I-L-L-E, is that it?
T-O-W-N.
Oh, Jenkintown.
Jenkintown.
Okay, hang on a second, okay? We're going to get an operator on the line here and see if we can get some information. Always good to clarify these things. We're going to have an operator.
Your telephone is
John. Yes, hello. I need long distance, please. AT&T.
Yeah.
Here we go.
One moment. For a long distance operator who can assist you.
Get to the bottom of this right away.
AT&T, how can we help you?
Hello. We're looking for the area code, please, for Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. That's Jenkintown. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, caller, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hook you to information in Jenkintown.
Uh-huh.
And what I want you to do is see if you can get a phone number for this organization.
Okay.
Hang on. Calling Jenkintown. Now, you do the talking. If they ever pick up.
Director Catherine. Hi. Could I have the phone number for the American Anti-Vivisection Society?
American Anti-what?
Vivisection Society.
The number is 887-0816.
Okay.
Repeat. The number is 887-0816.
That's the number you have.
Further assistance, a directory assistance operator will return.
I'm going to ask her for the address, and we'll see if it's the same address you have.
Directory assistance.
Yes, well, operator, do you have an address on that, please?
That's 801 Old York Road in Jenkintown.
801 Old what road?
Old York Road.
That's J-E-R-K?
York.
Oh, York. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right.
New York Road.
New York. It sounds like she said New Jerk Road, you know? But then again, my hearing's going.
There's this last two places you could call. Suite 204 Noble Plaza.
Uh-huh.
And it has a slash, 801 Old New York Road.
Really?
Yeah. I guess there's two places.
Fascinating. Well, we have verified this place exists, and, you know...
Yeah, and, zip code or whatever, 19046-1685.
Okay.
This is for, detailed information on the horrors of the recession and what you can do to help in stopping it.
Well, now, you're talking about the horrors. Is there a horror that you can relate? Is there something you can read from?
All these animals, they go through all the suffering, no anesthesia or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Usually, though, in these pamphlets, they give, like, you know, one horror story or something. Can you relate? Because we want to get people to call.
It's not a pamphlet.
It's not a pamphlet. What is it?
It's a 7-inch from a band.
Uh-huh.
And they have a song about it. And that's why, and they have information where you can write.
All right. So what's the name of the band?
Zombie Terrorists.
Ah. I wonder if we have anything by them. Are they, what label are they on?
Let's see. Point Blank.
We might have that.
Yeah, I think Steve Kreitzer from Turmoil. He was giving them out. Making pledges during the radiothon.
Right, and for a certain pledge, he'd throw one at you, right?
Yeah, right.
We did good on this. Well, that's good. I'm glad you were able to give out that information because that is important for people to be able to get in touch with these groups.
Yeah, okay. Can I say hi to a few people?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, Scott. Josh, Nick, John, Warren, that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901, area code 516. Good morning. Sorry, I'm afraid that phone is being tapped. Good morning. Anybody there? Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Do you want to hear something really funny?
Oh, okay. I guess I can handle it.
No, it's clean. I kind of lost my voice because I was at the Honor of the Range game in Ithaca.
You're pulling a Clinton, are you?
What?
You're pulling a Clinton, losing your voice.
Yeah. Well, I have a reason to because it was a great game.
Okay.
Okay. I'm driving home, right?
Okay. Yeah, I guess you'd know, wouldn't you?
What?
You said right. I mean, I believe you.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay.
No, see, like in my car, see, I have a '68 Mustang, and I have the original stereo in it, which is an 8-track. Okay.
You have an 8-track in your car?
Yeah. An 8-track stereo.
That's incredible.
Great.
I mean, I know there's a group out there called the 8-track Club. I don't know if you know about this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, we were talking about it on the air a few months ago. But there's a group of people that put out a newsletter and everything, and the newsletter has, you know, an index. It's divided into four, just like an 8-track. And all these people, they trade 8-tracks. They say, I need an 8-track of this record.
Really?
And it's incredible because they're really adamant about it.
Hey, do they have, like, new ones, or...?
I don't know if they put out new ones. I guess, well, you can record on 8-tracks, right?
I don't know. I can in my car, though. I know that.
Well, the whole purpose of 8-tracks was you were able to record on them. And I guess if they can figure out how to make new blank 8-tracks, they can record anything they want on them.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, I'm keeping it because if I sell the car, you know, it'll be worth more with the 8-track in it.
Well, 8-tracks, I think, are going to become collector's items at some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got that. Anyway, so we're listening to Billy Joel, right? Billy Joel's Greatest Hits. And my friend, who was like a real metalhead, like really long hair, is headbanging to Billy Joel.
Right, that can be dangerous, though, because sometimes Billy Joel rocks, and if you're already headbanging to him, and then he starts rocking on top of that, you know, you could really go crazy.
I know, but it's just weird, because like, he's headbanging to Billy Joel.
Remember what song he was headbanging to?
It was, oh God.
She's Always a Woman.
No, that sounded, I know, it was,
Captain Jack.
What?
Captain Jack?
No. Oh, I'm thinking. It's
the Entertainer. It was it one of the early ones or the older, you know, more recent ones?
It was kind of recent. It was Still Rock and Roll to Me, something like that.
Yeah, you can headbang to that.
Yeah, it is somewhat.
Uh-huh.
But, and Allentown, too.
That's a kind of a slow headbanger.
Yeah, well, he was kind of, you know.
You got to make the headbanging kind of hard, but, you know, far spaced out between.
But and Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, because I got Queen on 8-track, too.
Well, there's points of that where you can really headbang up a storm.
Oh, yeah. It's a great song.
And then there's periods where you can rest for a while and, you know, drink something or whatever.
So are you a hockey fan at all?
Am I a hockey fan?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I watch it occasionally, but I don't really follow it all that much. I mean, I know that they're playing. I know that the Rangers beat the Islanders tonight, or maybe the Islanders beat the Rangers. One of those happened. I know they were playing. That much I know. So I do follow to that degree.
It was incredible. It was like this new Ice Age thing.
New Ice Age thing?
Yeah, have you heard about that?
No.
You must have heard about that, because the Islanders have new owners, right? And they're calling it the new Ice Age.
No, I didn't know about that. I do know there's a female hockey player now.
Yeah. Oh, she's pretty hot, too.
Well, that's a very interesting thing that there's a female person in professional sports. I mean, I think it's about time, but
yeah.
It happened kind of suddenly and kind of shocked me, I guess. I wasn't expecting it. I know also there's a hockey team in Florida now.
Yeah, that's the team that she's on, Tampa Bay.
Wow. I don't know how you can play hockey in Tampa Bay, but...
They use like three times the refrigeration in a regular NHL arena.
Uh-huh.
But last year in Phoenix, no, was it in Las Vegas, they played an outdoor ice hockey game.
They played it where?
The Rangers and the Kings, outside of Las Vegas somewhere.
How could you do that?
They took like three or four times the amount of refrigeration it takes to freeze the ice, and they did it.
Well, why did they want to, first of all? It must be really, really hot outside.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know what it was for. It wasn't that bad. It was like in the 70s.
Have you ever played hockey when it's, you know, the sun is beating down on you?
Oh, yeah. Over the summer, I played that kind of game.
I guess, a lot of people do that. But, it's, you know, it's pretty, I don't know.
Yeah, but it was, and also it was raining because it was raining during the afternoon. And I remember Wayne Gretzky was playing, and he said these little bugs kept landing on the ice. It was pretty weird, but yeah, what was I going to say about the girl? Oh, yeah, after she played that game, Playboy offered her a $50,000 contract.
I'll bet they did.
Yeah. She turned it down. But the joke around school is that she's gonna pose with nothing but goalie pants on. I tell you, that would have been pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't offer the same deals to all the other hockey players, do they?
Yeah. But, I mean, when she's played, like, I saw the period that she played against the Blues, and, you know, she looked pretty good. She let in two goals, but, I mean, you know, she was slashing people like any normal NHL goalie would play.
Well, I mean, do you think a female could play other positions on a hockey team?
No.
You don't think we'll see a female Bobby Clark, for instance?
No. Yeah, maybe his wife or daughter, I don't know.
That would be a sight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really, you know, it's tough to say, because, like, you get knocked around a lot more when you're, you know, as a forward or defenseman, but, you know, plus the goal, you know, she got a lot of pads on and stuff, but, there's a lot of girls.
I know some female people that could handle that.
A couple of them, Bedcock, you know, pretty good.
Uh-huh. No, but, I mean, I know people that could easily, you know, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of afraid to even think of it, but certainly.
Yeah, I always thought, what sport did you think a woman would first play in?
Out of what choice, though?
Out of the four major sports.
Baseball, hockey, basketball, and
football.
I'd have to say probably either basketball or baseball. Not basketball, because you have to be like 8 feet tall to play basketball. I don't really see many 8 feet tall women.
Yeah.
Probably baseball, because it's not so much a contact sport.
What about football as a place kicker?
Possibly, yeah. And plus, you have all that padding anyway, so...
It was two high school girls. I forgot the name of the school that played last year.
Really?
Yeah, they played two. They were both place kickers, but you know, they took turns from the game kicking or whatever.
Well, you have to really, you know, give credit, because that must be very hard just to, you know, get by, you know, all your peers doing this.
Yeah.
Let alone playing the game itself.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know.
Well, I'm for anything that you know, is different and brings about change of some sort in a positive way.
Yeah, definitely. But where's Mr. Matt tonight? He's a big Islander fan.
Well, I guess he'll be in tomorrow night in the sports section.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to give him a call.
Okay.
But, all right, you know, just, you know, have a cool night, you know.
Oh, I always try to.
And there's another Islander Ranger game tomorrow night, so tune in.
Yeah, I'll bet they're, like, flipping sides, right?
What?
This one was played where?
It's tonight. We're at Nassau Coliseum. Tomorrow will be Madison Square Garden.
I'll bet it will be, and I'll bet the Rangers will win this one.
You want to bet?
Well, I don't know. I just think, you know. Home ice advantage. Oh, I'll be watching just to see what happens.
Yeah, you know, check it out. Hockey's now it's finally back on ESPN.
How come they're not on any other, you know, broadcast station anymore?
What do you mean? Like over the radio?
Well, no, they're not on TV as much as all the other sports.
They're trying to. I mean, right now ESPN has the contract, but...
But why is it? I mean, is hockey, it just doesn't do well on the air or something?
Well, I can tell you, in 1980, when the Islanders were in the finals against the Flyers, it was one of the last games,
mm-hmm.
I think it was on Channel 7, and there was a call, the ref called the penalty against the Islanders, this is the National Coliseum, the Islanders home, and the ref made a bad call or something, and the fans were chanting something, and the two announcers said, you know, let's listen to hear what the fans are saying. That's on TV, and the fans are going, bull.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that's reason enough to to stop broadcasting. It had to be something else.
I think because of violence, you know, there's a lot of fights, but it's been, you know, they've been cutting down on it, though. But, you know, the charge on, you know, the All-Star game is...
I was in the impression it wasn't doing well in the ratings.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing they would take it off for.
Yeah, but this year they're playing, each team is playing, like, two games in a neutral site. Like, they're playing For example, the Islanders will be playing Edmonton in, like, in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City?
Is, they're playing in Miami, Dallas. Dallas really wants an expansion team. All over, they're playing, Sacramento.
Hey, what's the deal with that, that minor league baseball team coming to Long Island? Is that happening or not?
The Mets don't want it, the Yankees do. Well, it's the Yankees farm team, but,
Well, I mean, isn't it outside the Mets, zone anyway?
It's like 50 miles, and, you know, and it was the 5 miles, whatever you call it, I don't know the law.
5 miles is the limit, and they're, what, 50 miles away?
I don't know, I think it was 15 or 50, I'm not sure.
Well, they're not 15 miles away from Chase Stadium. They're
okay,
15 definitely. From something, but I don't see how they could reject something like that.
I like to see.
I don't know if I'm for it. I don't know if I really want all this, you know, all this
hullabaloo
going on. Yeah, I mean, it could, you know, I like an environmental impact statement and see what that says.
Yeah, exactly.
And we stick to that.
Definitely. All right, I'll let you go on some calls because I'm probably boring some people.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem.
632-6901, good morning.
Hey.
How you doing?
speaking of Madison Square Garden, are you a Bob Dylan fan?
I heard about that concert yesterday, and I heard Sinead O'Connor was doing something controversial, but I didn't
know
what.
Yeah, I was there, and they booed her off the stage.
Did they really?
Anonymously, like the whole crowd. It was like first she gets on, and you know some people are applauding, and then all of a sudden the booing starts and the yelling of get off the stage, and next thing you know she was just she made a speech which I you couldn't really hear it over all the boos, but she said something about like wars everywhere and child abuses everywhere, and then she went off the stage crying.
Well, you know, whether or not you agree with what she said,
I didn't think it was appropriate for like the time. You know, it was like it was a anniversary celebration and all this stuff. If you don't agree with it, then
right,
I didn't feel it was like the right place for it.
No, I don't either. A lot of people say the same thing about what she did. That wasn't the right place for it, but it's, you know, it's freedom of expression either way.
Either way.
But silencing somebody, you know, by doing that is also wrong.
Yeah, they should have let her sing at least.
I've heard that she had sung a Bob Marley song instead of a Bob Dylan song.
Anything.
Well, she didn't sing anything.
She may actually have whatever she was yelling might have been a Bob Marley song, but she wasn't singing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she might have been yelling lyrics out to the crowd. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I think before you you boo somebody off the stage, you should at least listen to what it is they're trying to say, because right now I still don't know what exactly that was all about. No one's really bothered to investigate and see why she ripped up the picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live.
The Rolling Stone interview with her?
Is that a recent one?
Yeah, just came out.
Okay, does it mention that?
No, it's an interview with her where she says a lot worse things than just ripping up a picture of the Pope.
Uh-huh.
You know, she just compares certain things, you know, like she shouldn't be, I guess, and whatever.
I think,
you know, she compares Martin Luther King and Jesus Christ to Mike Tyson, and I think that's offensive to a lot of people.
Offensive, yeah, but it's, you know, it's freedom of speech.
It's her right to say it, I think, yeah. But.
I mean, if you don't agree with it, you don't have to agree with it, but, you know, allow somebody. You know, we're here to protect the rights of people that, you know, that we abhor, that we don't, you know, agree with at all. And if we just react emotionally every time somebody says something we don't agree with, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be very productive or healthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd like to hear more from her. I'd like to see what she has to say because, you know, at least she says it in an interesting way. And she is a very good musician.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
I think she should have let her sing.
I think there's just a lot of hostility towards her for a lot of reasons. I mean, before this controversy started, you know, they were angry at her for not singing the Star Spangled Banner or not wanting it to be performed.
That's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if she's offending anyone by that too much.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that I could even agree with.
Yeah.
Because I don't see why you have to say the Star Spangled Banner at a rock concert. That's kind of crazy.
I've actually never been to a rock concert where they have sang the Star Spangled Banner.
Right. But if you say you don't want it, then all of a sudden you're portrayed as, you know, not a patriot. But then again, she's not even a citizen of this country, so I don't see why, you know, it should even matter. The whole thing's pretty ridiculous. And then before that, they were all on her case because she had a shaved head, which apparently...
Oh, that is ridiculous.
Apparently rubbed people the wrong... But you see, there's this whole string of things that they don't like Sinead O'Connor for, no matter what she does. Maybe she's just trying to, like, really appeal to these people by offending them as much as possible, since they want to be offended so much.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
But you know, I realized something that that both Sinead O'Connor and Cardinal John O'Connor,
yeah,
Yeah. Did you know that they were father and daughter?
They are?
No.
I'm like, what? No way.
But that would be a great, like, a strained relationship kind of thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, okay.
The daughter I never had.
Yeah.
An ABC miniseries. Yeah.
What was all that talk in the beginning of the show about, like, computers and whatever?
Yeah.
That whole thing was.
What, the talk from the people that called in?
The whole thing. It was just like nonstop, like, press this button and that button, and then some woman talking about the numbers on, like, I'm just sitting there like, okay. I was like, what was that?
Well, have you ever been in a situation where you need to find out what your phone number was, and the operator won't tell you?
Yeah, but what service is that to, like, everyone listening?
Well, have you ever been in somebody's house and you want to use their phone and you want somebody to call you back, or you had a pay phone? All right, here's a better example. You had a pay phone and you want somebody to call you back, but the number has been scratched off the phone.
Okay.
Well, wouldn't you like to be able to find out what that number is?
Yeah.
There's always been a way to find that out, but nobody ever tells you that unless you discover it on your own.
Ah.
And we were just telling people how to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And in case you didn't hear, it's 958 and in some places 511.
Oh, okay.
And there's no charge to call that number.
I was confused.
Well, it's okay to be confused, especially this day and age.
Yeah. Okay. I'd just like to say hi to a few people.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jen, Marita, Katrina, Sam, and John. John Magoo, otherwise known as Larry, whatever you want to call him.
All right. That sounds fair enough.
Okay.
What town are you calling from?
Northport.
Northport. Okay, I'm going to try to do something special for everybody that calls in from now on. I'm going to call into their particular phone company's central office, and you can hear the friendly phone company person announcing your area. And you don't have to understand what it's about. It's just one of the things that we do here to confuse people.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Okay.
So listen up, and you'll hear your town mentioned.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Yes, it's a public service we perform here on WUSB. We perform this public service as a public service, unlike other radio stations that perform public services as kind of a ratings boost. No, we don't do that here. Purely public service.
Welcome to East Northport DMS, using codes 261, 262, 266, 269, 368, 544, 754, 757, in the 516 area.
He lost track midway. I like that guy. He thought he was finished there, but now he just kept right on going. Okay. Good morning.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
I just got a quick question on 2600.
The magazine, yes, go ahead.
Are there any places, magazine stores or stuff that they sell in Long Island?
Where are you located?
Around Kings Park.
Around Kings Park. The nearest one I can think of is a little computer shop, which is in Center Reach.
There's what it's called?
It's called the Little Computer Shop.
Oh, okay.
Center Reach. And,
would probably be the closest one, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of places in the city, but not very many on Long Island.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
So I get the feeling a lot of people have heard of this, but they just never had a way of finding out about it before. Well, that's interesting. Word of mouth is a weird thing. The same thing with USB, you know? People say, oh, I heard about that radio station, but I couldn't figure out how to turn it on. Yeah, good morning.
Eric, what's up? I saw that Bob Dylan concert.
You saw it where?
On pay-per-view.
Oh, really? They have pay-per-view of concerts now, huh?
Yeah,
How much did it cost?
You
don't care. Your parents paid for it, right?
No.
No?
I have a box.
You have a box? You want an illegal box?
I don't want to say.
Okay, well, no point getting into this.
All right,
But imagine if we had caller ID. That's all I want to say.
I'd be serving time.
You would be, you know, the wheels of justice would be turning already.
In myself.
Okay, well, let's get beyond this ugliness here and tell us about the concert.
I thought the concert was going great until Sinead O'Connor walked on the stage.
Uh-huh.
The only good thing I thought of her was she was wearing a dress. That was the first time I saw her wearing a dress. And
you're saying, well, women should wear dresses.
Yeah, but she usually wears a nightgown and army boots, and that just makes me want to vomit. But now I think the army boots was a bit drastic.
Well, I mean, you know, do you care if Ozzy Osbourne wears army boots?
No, but he's a good musician. I like his music.
Wait, so if you're a good musician, you can wear army boots?
Wear whatever you want, but she's just wearing it as a statement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you know, if you're going to sing, sing. If you're not, get off the stage, Baldy. I'm like, yeah.
Well, you know, I sense some hostility here towards Sinead O'Connor. tell me, what do you think she's trying to say?
She's like the radicalist of music, I think. She wants to be.
Yeah, but is she trying to send any message at all?
Yeah, well, I think she's telling the people what they want to hear. Like, what she's saying is right. Like, she wants all races to be alike, but she's just saying, oh, I want a day when all races will be the same. And everybody's been saying that for 100 years. You know?
Well, yeah.
Maybe less.
Well, I mean, do you think we're getting any closer?
No. I think we're getting further away from it.
Well, maybe that's why she's getting frustrated, because we don't seem to be making any progress. In fact, we're moving further away, as you say.
Yeah, but
Maybe it's time to speak louder, you know?
I don't think she's making any difference. Nobody listens to her anyways.
Uh-huh.
That's what made the concert bad. You know, I'd rather listen to, like, a barbershop quartet for a few hours than listen to her.
Uh-huh. Well, that's your choice, but is it really her fault that people don't listen to her?
Yeah, it is.
So what does she do about it? Does not say anything?
Yeah, stop ripping up pictures of the Pope.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's one first step. Or at least explain why you rip up pictures of the Pope, you know? Because I'm still not sure what the reason was. And, of course, a lot of it is because of American media not really wanting to tell you the reason, but...
Too drastic. It was way too drastic for television, I think.
Yeah, but it did definitely get attention, I'll say that. Maybe it didn't do her any good, but it did get attention.
They said she didn't even use that picture in dress rehearsal.
Right. No, of course, it was a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Nice little surprise on.
Well, it's live TV, you know. Live TV is meant for surprises. Like that time Elvis Costello did the wrong song. He did Radio Radio, which you know is an anti-industry song that he wasn't supposed to do, but he did it anyway.
Not that many people at the concert did Bob Dylan songs.
Oh, really? Oh, so they weren't. Now, did she sing anything at all?
I think she was trying. She wasn't. I think it was a song, but she was yelling it. She wasn't singing. She had no harmony.
No, I heard it was War by Bob Marley. That's what I understood it to be.
Which I think is
the same song she did at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but she was like screaming at the people and they were just booing her. I was laughing. I thought it was great.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, it's worth it, man.
And what was her reaction?
She started crying, I think.
Really?
Yeah, nobody wants to listen to like a little bald woman. Yeah, you know, there's never pictures of Pope.
Why must you refer to her physical attributes, though?
Because it makes me think your argument is get away from her bald head.
Well, I mean, you know, she could have said something nasty about John Paul's head or something, you know, but she didn't. She just ripped up his picture. I mean, I'm not saying that's nice, but I just think when you make fun of people's personal attributes, physical attributes, you're kind of like lessening your argument.
Yeah, but John Paul's hair is natural. She shaved her head, and that's disgusting, I think.
Uh-huh. I can't really say anything about John Paul's hair. I don't really...
He wears those huge hats, though, and it's hard to see.
Uh-huh.
You can only see that gray stuff. The gray hair, man.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is, and this is something that that seems to always be happening with conservatives and liberals, conservatives are always saying what is on their minds, and liberals are always protecting the views of people that don't agree with them. You see what the difference is? And that's why I have more respect for liberals, because they're thinking of others besides themselves, whereas conservatives are just thinking of their view and saying, well, this person shouldn't say something because I disagree. Well, what about, you know, people that don't agree with you? They have the right to say what they want to say, and we should protect that right.
Tonight,
yeah.
I went to somebody's house, and like everybody was drinking a little, and this girl was drinking a lot. And, like, this is, like, the reason why I don't like people drinking. She got real sick. She got way sick. You know, by the end of the night, his dad was coming to pick her up.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I draw the line when somebody wants me to help them. And there's, like, vomit, you know, involved. It's something I can't deal with.
Yeah, well, yeah, it usually makes you feel sick as well.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, man, if she's going to spew, she's not going to spew on me.
Right.
Because I like my clothes, and I don't want somebody else's lunch on them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sort of makes some sense. You know, people get themselves into these messes, but, you know, you have to, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like...
It's really a stupid thing to do, to get, you know, that completely smashed, especially at that age, for at any age, really.
Yeah, I'm like, seek help.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's your body telling you something. When you get physically ill, it means that something is wrong. And you're not supposed to do things intentionally to yourself to make yourself feel bad. You know, it's very simple. And unless you really want to hurt yourself, what's the point?
It kind of made me, like, feel sorry for her.
Uh-huh.
In a way.
Well, keep in mind, a lot of people like being made, you know, being felt sorry for. And
yeah,
a lot of people continue doing destructive things just to make you feel sorry for them. I'm not saying everybody is like that, but there are certainly a lot of people that are.
It was like straight out of The Exorcist, man. I was waiting for a head to spin. Vomit going everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Sick.
Well, I mean, if this person is a friend of yours,
yeah,
you,
is, but,
well, you should
but,
definitely, you know, stick by her, but make it clear that, you know, you lose a lot of respect for people that act like that. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to be firm and say, you know, if you're going to be like this, you're going to mess up your life, you're going to do it without me, because a lot of times you'll be drained yourself if somebody is going through these things.
She's not an alcoholic, though. It's like the first time she's drank.
Yeah, but alcoholics, you know, it happens.
It doesn't run in a family or anything.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You can still become an alcoholic. You can be the first in your family. It doesn't matter. You know, if you allow this kind of thing to happen to you, if you abuse yourself, you will get hurt because of it. And nobody's immune from this.
Yeah, do you know those hitchhiker things you find in the woods, the little prickly things?
Hitchhiker things?
Yeah, they're like little balls, and they got like all these thorns sticking out of them, and they attack to your
shoes. Yeah, I didn't know they were called hitchhikers. Yeah, they're like burrs or something.
Yeah, well, have you ever been like walking in the woods with shorts on?
I try not to do that because Long Island is famous for, you know, ticks and things like that, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Lyme disease and all these nice things.
I'll go on, but you've been walking and, like, it attaches itself to your genitals.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of those things.
And it's really hard pulling them out. It is a lot of blood involved.
Uh-huh.
And my mom likes a carpet, and when I come home pulling these things out, it gets on the carpet and it stains it. And my mom's like, son, take it outside, you know?
Well, she's probably right, and she's probably right to keep you outside.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm fainting on the floor, and she's like, take it out, man. Get a grip, man. You go mental.
I think you've gone there and back. Let me ask, what town are you in so we can do a tribute to your town?
Ronkonkoma.
Okay, Ronkonkoma is next, then. Thanks for calling. Let's do that public service for Ronkonkoma, or as the TV announcers say late at night, Ronkonkoma.
Verification test number for the Ronkonkoma number 5ESS, Southern Exchanges 467, 468, 471, 585, 588, 737, and 981 in the 516 area code.
Fascinating, isn't it? 632-6901, that's our phone number. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing? Okay, well, you're not banging your head now, are you?
No.
Okay. It just sounds like you're in the middle of something, but, okay, yes?
All right, I have something to say about caller ID.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, go ahead. You have something to say about caller ID?
This guy, this dude that, like, I hate.
Uh-huh.
He pranked me, and I got caller ID.
Well, now, can I just say one thing? You can't have caller ID yet. It's not here yet. You must mean star 69, right?
What?
You mean star 69, right?
No.
You have caller ID? You have a box?
It's an illegal box.
Wait, you're saying it works already in
yeah.
this area? What area are you in?
What?
What area are you in? What
town?
Where? Yeah, what town?
Middle Island.
You're in Middle Island, and you're saying caller ID works in Middle Island?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, I didn't know that. That's news to me. So tell us about it.
My phone works for the phone company.
Uh-huh.
All right, you want me to go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so this dude calls me, and, you know, I don't like him, and he got my phone number somehow. So I find out who he is. I mean, I go there, I beat him up, I come back, call the police. He's in jail right now, and he'll be let out in a year.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, caller ID isn't a joke.
It's an interesting interpretation of caller ID. I mean, you know, you can beat up the people before they call you back. It's just, yeah, it's an interesting twist. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because my father works for the phone company.
Uh-huh. So he was able to tell you that caller ID worked. Is that the reason?
What?
Oh, you mean, wait, you don't have, he was able to look it up in the phone company somehow?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I see. But do you actually have a box in your house?
Yes.
And it does work?
Yes, it does work.
I see. Well, that's fascinating. How big an area does it work for? How far away was this person?
Oh, well, he was in Ronkonkoma.
Uh-huh, so it works all the way to Ronkonkoma at least.
Yeah.
What's the furthest it's worked for?
So I haven't really tried it out yet.
Uh-huh.
I got to ask my dad about this.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. You've given us some...
He doesn't live with me.
Uh-huh. Well, it will be here for everybody, though, next month. I guess it's already being installed in some places.
No, dude, how come you're not having teleconferences?
Well, we did them last week, and we can't do it every week because it takes too much time. But we will do it again in the near future.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, what's a hacker?
That's a question that, that's hard.
I've never heard of that before.
You never heard of a hacker before? You never heard of computer hackers? You never heard of people destroying the world and all?
Oh, yeah, is that where they look up special information, but through their computer, like on another person's disk?
Yeah, sort of like that. But there's a lot more to it. Basically, computer hackers are people that just ask lots and lots of questions and refuse to give up. That's about the best way I can phrase it in the time we have.
Oh.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Mind if I ask how old you are?
What?
You mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 15.
15. Okay. Well, keep playing with caller ID then and let us know what you're able to discover.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye. And that call was Middle Island, so of course, keeping to our tradition, we must do a little tribute to Middle Island. I think we can do this. I'm not sure if this one will work. Oh, yes, it will work.
You have reached the verification test number for the YAPAC number 5 ESS. Serving exchange is 924-345-282-341.
Okay. That's Middle Island for you. And according to that person in Middle Island, caller ID is working and has been working for at least a little while. I'd like to know if other people have experienced the same thing. Maybe I should just get a box and see what happens. And actually, there's really no such thing as an illegal box. I should have pointed that out right then. It's not like cable because you're allowed to buy boxes. And yeah, technically you should pay for the service, but if they're giving you the service for free, then it's not illegal. You know, they either turn it off or they turn it on right now. Possibly it seems like it might be turned on in some places. Good morning.
Yeah, caller ID does work.
It does work.
A couple months ago, I was in New Jersey at a service merchandise, and I'm just flipping through the catalog, and I see this AT&T caller ID box. So I bought it because I heard it was going to start working in New York soon. Well, I brought it home and tried it out, and I get 6 out of the 7 digits every time. I get everything except the second to last digit. I get a question mark in there.
Really? And what area are you in?
Smithtown.
You're in Smithtown? That's incredible.
And all those star 69, 66, they all work.
Uh-huh.
Star 66 is how I manage to get on here because my phone rings as soon as your line is free.
Really?
And I pick it up, and there you are.
Now, do you ever get a recording that says the line you were trying to call became busy again?
Star 69?
On Star 66, that is.
Star 66 is automatic, keeps calling a busy signal.
Right, but in the case of something like USB, if you pick, you don't pick it up quickly enough, it'll become busy again by the time you do pick it up. You ever got that recording?
Yeah, but I never have a problem because I'm usually close enough to the phone.
Oh, quick on the drawer, okay.
Well, and call transfer, the star 72.
Okay.
But no, that's a call forwarding, star 72. I
right.
have all these. I got them all for free.
How did you manage that?
When they were first doing it, like 2 years ago, when they were first experimenting with them all, we somehow managed in my house, since we have 3 phone lines, to get some kind of discount thing for paying on one, getting it free on 2 others. And
oh, really?
So star 72, which is call forwarding,
right,
works, but then people who have star 69, the automatic callback, and people with caller ID, it doesn't work on their phone anymore. They won't be able to call you back. They'll get that recording with that female voice on it.
Well, they'll get the recording if you're forwarding.
So if you're forwarding your calls and you call from the phone that it's forwarded from.
Right.
They will, when they try calling you back, they'll get a recording saying that they can't call back this number. It's like out of service or whatever.
Hmm. So you can't fool them and make it seem like somebody else called them.
Right. It doesn't work that way.
I see. Okay.
And what other features were there? And how come someone has not heard of a hacker?
I can't understand. I mean, I suppose it's possible to lead a sheltered life, but when you're dealing with things like this, you know, hackers just come out of the woodwork.
I mean, this hackers for little things as computer programs all the way up through telephone operations.
Uh-huh.
I mean, up through different things that I've been working on with three phone lines in the house, all of them having all these, like, three-way and conference and all these,
yeah.
Trying to figure ways out of not paying for any of them.
Uh-huh. Have you found any interesting bugs or features that might not be fully described?
Well, there are back doors to what do you call it?
Oh, 900 numbers, you mean.
900 numbers and party lines and all these different party lines and call it date garbage, whatever they are.
Right.
There are back doors to all of them, different 800 numbers you can call. The thing is, you need a female on the line to talk as soon as they put an operator on. They won't put a guy on a back door. They'll only put a girl on. You know that?
You mean you got to get permission to get put on the back door?
Right. An operator comes on.
So they it's not really a back door then. It's just a, you know.
But it's a number that no one knows about.
Well, obviously someone must know about it if they you know, answer it and treat
well,
people differently.
Well, it's put into different women's magazines.
Right, so word gets out that way. But
they want women to call up or else guys aren't going to call. And guys are the only ones that make money for them.
But it's my understanding that all the 900 numbers, or most of the 900 numbers, have back doors that they can't tell the difference. Like every 900 number is just forwarding to a real number.
There's a few for party lines that I know of.
Uh-huh.
That he used to get through
on. I'll tell you though. I mean, I've you know called a couple of those. You know, when it didn't cost anything because you know I knew the other phone number, and even calling that number, I felt ripped off. You know, it's just it's boring and it's you know it's repetitious and you can't hear anybody. And what's the point?
Well, there are a couple interesting ones. There are a couple like one-on-one things where you get people in your area, but. They're all boring, all those.
I can't for the life of me understand, though, why, you know, it's permitted to advertise, you know, get the phone numbers of real girls and things like that, and at the same time...
Oh, it's all fake.
At the same time, they say how dangerous it is to give your phone number out to strangers. It seems so crazy.
None of that's real. You think those are real people
no,
giving
of course
us their
not.
Numbers?
Oh, no, certainly not, but they encourage people to do that, or to at least ask for that.
Wait, give out your number to the sicko on the line.
Yeah, it's insane. I can't figure it out. It's just, and I thought for sure that 900 numbers and 540 numbers and all these other sleazy things would have died out by now, but they haven't.
Well, I can't call them anymore on my phone.
Oh, you had it blocked, huh?
Yeah, I purposely had it blocked because I used to call too many of them.
Yeah, the operators can't place those calls for you. I have not yet figured out a way around that particular blocking scheme.
Yeah, it's blocked out on your phones there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's blocked out on the entire campus, actually.
Oh,
I suppose, you know, it's a good thing overall, but...
Because I don't remember who, but a long time ago listening, someone trying to call out of the country was blocked out.
Oh, really?
I think it was you, actually.
I calling out of the country is different because there are legitimate people over there.
I know, and I was surprised that would be blocked out.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Anything else?
I don't know. Oh, man, I finally get through, and now I forgot what I had.
Well, you sound like a hacker.
A little telephone, not too much.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, definitely keep asking questions, keep experimenting, looking for those hidden phone numbers, weird exchanges.
Too many questions, and you get in trouble, but that's the whole fun.
Well, that's what computers are for. You see, computers don't get mad when you ask all the questions. And, you know, most hackers don't either.
It's really interesting finding out... I just took my PSATs today, and I found out how the grading system works by using a school computer and getting into a couple programs that I had no idea how this worked until then. No, they don't tell you these things.
Of course not.
Of, like, how to, not like the answers. I just want to know, how do they grade this? Like, what's everything worth, you know? Like, what's your name worth?
Right. They're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to just trust everything they say.
Oh, you can't trust what they say. You have to ask questions.
See, the hackers are a result of people not giving out information. If people were free and open with information, there wouldn't be a need for hackers, would there?
Well, nobody gets hurt.
That's the point. And when people do, that's when the hacking stops and, you know, criminal behavior takes over. And, that, you know, 99% of hackers don't do that kind of thing.
Well, have you ever done anything and found out that people got hurt by it?
No, I mean, you know, you pretty much know by instinct when you're doing something that somebody could potentially get hurt by. You know, things like stealing, things like, you know, deception and harassment.
Stealing from a bank system. They'll never know about it.
Oh, yes, they will. They might not say anything about it because they might be too embarrassed, but believe me, every quarter penny
is... They get all their money directly from the government again.
Well, you know, that's a whole big convoluted process, but yeah, banks, that's something very touchy.
What about...
I do know how to
credit cards.
How to play with automatic teller machines and make them do weird things, but not give out money.
Oh, it's fun to make... You could get someone's whole life story just from the receipt from their... machine.
Well, it's a piece. Yeah, it's a piece that leads to a bigger piece. So, if you're good social engineering, you know, which is getting information out of people, you could probably get a whole life story that way.
All you need is like their bank number and their name, and you could like find out their whole life history.
Sure.
It.
Or God forbid, a social security number. That's really your name.
Oh, and everyone wants it now. Your social security number. I mean, a while back, they never wanted, like, keep this, never give this number to anyone.
Social security numbers were for Social Security and nothing else.
Right.
Now they're for everything.
And all of a sudden, now it's on every form.
Uh-huh.
I mean, today, they asked my Social Security number, my PSATs.
Seriously, though, in most cases, they just need it as some sort of confirmation. Like, you could give out a different one to everybody. As long as you give the same one to the same people, it probably won't make a difference. In most cases. There are some other cases, though, where it will. The banks talk to the IRS, so they have to match... But, you know, there's nothing wrong with confusing people a little bit. For instance, whenever I go to Radio Shack, I always give a different name. Always. And a different phone number. And, you know, they ask me all these questions. I want to buy a damn fuse.
Final,
and I got to tell my life story.
What's your phone number?
What's your phone number, you know? tell me something about you. You're the one that's taking my money. I'd like to know where it's going.
Well, I give them the last four digits of the payphone number at my high school.
Right.
Yeah, well, I give everyone, though, that number.
I mean, I've taken it to the point where I order a pizza, I give a different name every time.
A different name every time.
They look at me funny when I come in because they recognize me, and I'm always a different person.
A different name. I give a different name depending on the pizza place I'm calling, but not to...
Well, you know, it's because they say, can I have a name? They don't say, can I have your name? They say, can I have a name on that? And I say, sure, you know, Bertrand or something like... You know, I come up with some, you know, ones that I have to spell.
Well, get like
Consuela. Yeah.
No, get like if you get pizza with garlic on it, what's your name? Garlic. Or give me a name. Garlic. Okay.
Garlic for garlic, yes. Of course.
Got a garlic pizza for garlic? Yeah, sure.
Okay, listen, I'm going to give out information about hacker meetings so that, you know, if you're interested and if other people are interested, they can jot it down.
Okay.
All right, so thanks for calling and keep exploring.
Okay.
All right, take care. That person was from Smithtown. We're going to do our Smithtown public service announcement, and then we'll give out some information and take some more phone calls. And again, we're giving out this public service information for every town that calls in. And here is Smithtown.
You have reached the Smithtown DSO, serving 979-724-265-360-361-366-862-584. You have reached the Smithtown DSO, serving 979-724-265-360-361-366-862-584.
This is the good part. There's really no reason for this to happen, but it does.
We're sorry. All carrier circuits are busy now. Will you please try your call again later?
There's absolutely no reason for that recording to come on, but it does when you call that number. And just more fun with phones. That's Smithtown. Now, okay, yeah, there are monthly hacker meetings in New York City, for those of you that really are interested. There seems to be a lot of people that are. It's basically something that 2600 does, the magazine for hackers. And actually, there's meetings now going on in about, I think, 9 or 10 cities throughout the country simultaneously. So it's really kind of getting out of hand. And the New York City meetings, which are the closest ones to here, take place at the Citicorps Center, which is located at 53rd Street between 3rd and Lexington Avenue. It's that building with the weird slant on the top that you can sort of skate down when it gets nice and slippery. It takes place there on the first Friday of every month from about 5 p.m. to about 8 p.m., and those are real approximations there. City Court building, the lobby, which just follow the security guards because the security guards are always sort of watching what goes on. And it's really not like a meeting. It's kind of like a gathering. It's sort of like a mall kind of a setting. And people gather there and trade information and just get to know each other. It's kind of like democracy, you know. Anyway, it's the first Friday of the month from about 5 to 8, lobby of the City Court building, 53rd and 3rd, between 3rd and Lexington. And, yes, we were mentioning before how various exchanges, like, say, 976 are blocked in this area. For instance, if I pick up the phone now and I want to call, say, the time, okay, I would try to call 976, and right away I get this this recording, or not recording, but alarm saying that you shouldn't do what you just tried to do. It's a very bad thing, and of course you'll never try to do that again. So there is no way to get the time, to get that information through here. No way at all. Pretty sad, isn't it? That's what you get. But, you know, there's always a way somehow, and if you play around enough, you're bound to discover something. You're bound to find a way to break through the barriers and get what you're looking for. You just have to keep trying. It's as simple as that.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again or call your operator to help you. 13282.
Yes, you'll get other recordings, other strange noises and things like that, but eventually, you'll get something. Or maybe not. Anyway, it's 10 minutes to 2 o'clock. I'm told that we have to have a dramatic theme. It's time for our dramatic theme. We're going to be taking some more phone calls, 632-6901, area code 516. First, our dramatic theme. And today's dramatic theme is a familiar one, the one that haunts the lives of people here at Stony Brook time after time again, where we ask the proverbial question of survival, the things that people need to know in order to get through their day-to-day lives and move one step closer to the grave or whatever. And the question is, of course, what the hell is for lunch?
Good morning. Today at Lost Kosher Dining Hall, we have for lunch matzo ball soup, fish sticks with skin and potato wedges, New Orleans spicy chicken, steamed carrots, salad bar, and a deli corn. For dinner, it's veal roast with gravy, catch of the day with julienne vegetables, steamed vegetable platter, corn in the cob, salad bar, and dessert. At Lost Vegetarian, there is for lunch brown rice with spinach, cheese pizza, pizza of the day, veggie burger, veggie hot dog, daily pastas, marinara, seafood marinara, garlic bread. For dinner, it's falafel with tahini, seasonal grilled vegetables, stir fry, cheese pizza, pizza of the day, Italian rice, split pea soup, Cajun sauce, red curry coconut sauce, and a topping bar of six. At Roth Traditional Dining Hall, for breakfast, there's cream of rice, bacon, sausage links, grilled ham, hash browns, shoestring fries, banana fritters, Mexican omelet, grilled to order with pancakes, waffles, and eggs any style, and French toast. For lunch, it's clam chowder, breaded turkey breast, supreme stuffing, green beans, bread bar, grilled oil with toppings bar, salad bar, and the deli bar. For dinner, it's chopped steak with gravy, carrot coins, mashed potatoes, the bread bar, the grilled oil with the toppings bar, and the salad bar. At 8th Traditional Dining Hall for breakfast today, we have cream of rice, bacon, sausage links, grilled ham, hash browns, shoestring fries, banana fritters, Mexican omelets, grilled to order with pancakes, waffles, eggs any style, or French toast. For lunch, there's cream of spinach soup, clam chowder soup, chicken enchilada bake, vegetable stir fry, fettuccine alfredo, rice pilaf, green beans, bread bar, the grilled to order with the toppings bar, the salad bar, and the deli bar. For dinner, there's crispy baked fish, curry-style chicken, spinach, lasagna, green beans, corn, scalloped potatoes, vegetable tempura bar, the bread bar, and the grilled order with the toppings and salad bars. At Kelly Traditional Dining Hall, there is for breakfast cream of wheat, bacon, sausage links, corned beef hash, hash brown, shoestring fries, apple fritters, western omelet, grilled order, pancakes, waffles, eggs any style of French toast. For lunch, there's chicken gumbo soup or seafood chowder soup, chicken joe, French bread pizza, hot open turkey with gravy, spinach, mashed potatoes, bread bar, the grilled order with the topping, salad, and deli bar. For dinner, we have mussels marinara, beef potato pie, cheese broccoli and cheese, Parisian blend spinach, linguine with butter and parsley, waffle bread, bread bar, and the grilled order with topping bar and the salad bar. Thank you for calling the FSA hotline.
That's, you know, you could have a little too much food, you know? I don't know if anybody could sit through that. I got up to about the shoestring fries, and that was it for me. Anyway, What's for Lunch is presented as a public service for those of you who don't know how lucky you are. All right, let's go back to the old telephone here. Good evening, good morning, rather, you're on the air.
How's it going again? You didn't do my area code.
Where are you calling from, sir?
Shirley. Oh, tell me the answer.
Okay, but tell me where you're calling from so we don't forget.
Shirley in Brookhaven.
Okay, I'll do it, but you have to tell me where you're calling from.
Brookhaven.
Brookhaven. You kept saying Shirley as if, you know, I wasn't going to do it. Like, you know, certainly.
Oh, man.
You must get a lot of jokes living in Shirley.
Yeah.
You do, yeah.
And don't call me Shirley.
but I have to call you in Shirley, don't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. The jokes just never end, you know. If you ever become a talk show host, you'll have no, you know, shortage of material there.
I have one thing to say to that girl who called before that said she was 15.
Yeah?
If you have to ask what a hacker is, you'll never know.
Ooh, that's good. That's the kind of thing you can put on a bumper sticker.
You have to ask, you'll never know.
What's an exchange in Shirley? I'm not familiar with there.
Like 399 or 281.
Yeah, I thought 281. Okay. 399, 281. Okay, well, we'll find it.
How cool about that anyway?
Ah, that's one of the benefits of being a hacker. Come to a hacker meeting and learn.
Tell me.
Well, you know, we talk to people on a one-to-one basis and all. You can't just advertise everything over the airways because there are a lot of anti-hackers out there, you know?
And you do it so fast, though.
Well, the anti-hackers, you know, must be kept in the dark, because if we give them the same knowledge, then they'll surely destroy us.
True.
And we must destroy them first. Remember that.
Very true.
Yes.
But anyway, there was this kid in my school who broke into the teacher's payroll
in
the computer, and he messed it all up.
Did people actually get wrong paychecks?
Yeah, they were getting like $30 a week. They were working like 5 hours, like 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. $30 a week. What's a hacker? Always a hacker.
Yeah, big guy's here. He was on before me, and he's going to be on again after me.
How's it going, big guy?
He
all right.
Yeah, he can barely get words out because he was talking so much before, and he'll be talking again afterwards. Yeah, he's got the Clinton disease.
Yeah, tell him to do death.
Tell him to what?
Tell him to do death.
Do death?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he wants you to play death metal speed or whatever.
No. His imitation of death.
Oh, you do an imitation of death? Well, okay, let's hear it.
I thought I was going to do it later.
Okay, can you stay up a little while?
Yeah, I can stay up all night. Bro.
Okay, well,
you'll guarantee you'll hear it later.
Okay.
You know who this is, right?
Yes, I know.
I guess he does.
One of my loyal listeners, or actually the station's loyal listeners.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm an old-time listener.
Well, we have lots of old-time listeners, but we want to get to at least three more of our old-time listeners before we go off tonight, so we have to do a tribute to Shirley.
All right, wait a minute. Yeah, put me on a teleconference, please.
Well, there is no teleconference to put you on.
Well, put the last three calls on.
I can't. There's no way we can do that. Not tonight, but maybe next week, maybe the week after.
All right, later, fellow.
Okay, thanks for calling and getting more information out to us. Let's see if we can... get that tribute to Shirley underway. Ah, yes, here we go.
Wake up, Shirley. This isn't supposed to happen. Okay, I have a theory here. Let's try this. Sometimes the first one breaks. Sometimes there's only one. Okay, let's try something else. We'll try going in a different way. See if that works.
You have reached a verification test number for MASTIC number 5 ESS. Serving exchanges 281-395-399-874-878.
There you go. Okay, let's take another phone call. Good evening. Anybody there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Hey, I finally got on the air.
Yeah, can't believe it, can you?
Yeah, I thought, you know, for a minute I thought I dialed the wrong number. Like, I would have to, because the phone was ringing and ringing, and I thought maybe for me to be put on the air, I would have to stay on hold. You know, you answer the call, but keep me on hold.
No, we don't play games like that, like some other radio stations might.
Yeah, I didn't want to take the chance by hanging up, because I knew I'd get a busy signal. For 2 weeks now, I've been trying to get on the air, and this is, like, my first time.
Well, this is your first time, but we don't have much time left.
Yeah, well, I'm calling from Shirley, too.
Ah, well, then we don't have to repeat what we just did, do we?
Nah, we don't, if you don't want to. I'm kind of tired anyway.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired, too, and something's spreading.
But anyway, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. The big guy is here. He's
who's that,
waiting,
Matt?
Waiting patiently to go on. No, it's the big guy. That's his real name.
Big guy.
It's on his FCC license and everything.
What's your name?
This is Eric.
Oh, Eric?
Yeah. I'm not Matt.
Yeah, I knew Matt did the show last week.
Right. Well, that was last week, but this is this week. But soon it will be last week, too, because it's just about over.
You guys, like, switch weeks? Like, next week he'll do the show, and next week, the week after, you'll do the show?
Well, it's been kind of like that, but it's not officially like that, you know?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, just like this is not our official outro, but it sort of works out that way sometimes.
So you don't have the telecom running today, do you?
Not today, but maybe next time.
Hey, did you watch the debate last Thursday?
Yeah, you know, and I was sort of hoping people would talk about that this week, but you're the first one.
Oh, I love talking about political issues. I could go on forever.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we don't have any time. But yes, I watched all three debates, and I'll be watching the one on Monday. I thought the most entertaining by far was the vice presidential. Oh, that was great. That was great.
So who are you going to vote for?
All you have to do is tell the truth. Stop pulling a Clinton. Tell the truth.
You want Clinton?
Well, I have to say he's the lesser of the two evils, or three evils at this point.
Bush is burnt out. I mean, if I got to pick somebody,
yeah,
either Perot or Clinton.
He seems pretty burnt out. I feel kind of sorry for him almost, which makes me wonder if he's got something up his sleeve. Yeah,
Perot
doesn't
have any experience in politicians, but I think maybe that's what we need, you know? He seems straightforward about everything that he has to say.
All he ever says is, there's a plan. I got a plan in Washington, D.C. This plan's lying all over the place, and they're never implemented. You got to implement these plans. There's plans everywhere. That's all he ever says. The guy keeps saying the same thing over and over again. I'm all ears. I'm
sick
of
it. He's good,
though. Oh, he's funny. Yeah, but... and he has shaken things up, and he's made us take a good look at ourselves, but... I'll tell you, I'd be scared having him as president. Maybe we need to be scared, but I'd be... really, really scared. And that Stockdale guy, I mean, he's funny too, but, you know, comedy doesn't really cut it in the White House.
Oh, yeah, listen, what's that 958 deal? What's that all about?
Okay, basically dial 958 to find out what your phone number is.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, so I could be at somebody's house, and if they don't want to give me their phone number, just dial 958, and I'll get their phone number, right?
Well, that'll sort of work, yeah, if they allow you to use their phone at all.
Yeah, is there any charge for that?
No like, charge at all.
No 75-cent deal?
No hidden charges.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Listen, sir, we got to go. We're out of time.
All right, I'll give you a call next week.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, later.
Take care. Guess we're out of time. Brain damage is over. The big guy is here, and he'll be rocking you through the night. I don't know where I get the energy from. I'm all tired out. Maybe I'll be here next week. Maybe Matt will be here next week. I'm not sure what's going to happen. We'll see. But watch the debate on Monday. Keep in touch with the process. Keep asking questions. And let us know what you find out. Good night.